The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's 11 minutes after 6. Sorry, I was just answering a phone call. In fact, a guest I'm going to bring on here in just a moment. But we appreciate you being on the Bill Myers Show. Join in at 770-5633. We'll have some open phones a little bit later on. Eric Peters, of course, will join me. Wheels Up Wednesday. We always have a great conversation on transportation and so much more. And he's here a little bit early, but I'm happy to get him in here. Dr. Michael Reddy from Texas. And he is a fellow. Now, are you a visiting fellow of some sort with Do No Harm Medicine, Doctor? Welcome to the show. You're in Texas. I know that much, but I wanted to get people to introduce to you, so to speak.
Yeah, I joined Do No Harm right after Dr. Goldfarb started it out. I thought that they were interesting in speaking up for things that I thought needed to be said, and offering a perspective that that was not being voiced.
You ended up putting an op-ed in the Dallas Morning News the other day, about 3-4 days back, and it has to do with what the Texas Medical Association did. And you know, we have this this problem in the state of Oregon, which is all in on gender change. You know, if a young boy in school ends up saying he feels pretty, the schools and the states are just about getting to, you know, they want to get you as quickly as possible into gender affirming care, as they call it. And you came out with a different point of view, but the Texas Medical Association, we're talking Texas, appears to be going full in on gender ideology. And I was wondering if you could explain what happened there. It's an interesting story. You wouldn't think it would happen in Texas.
I think it shows why systems are important, and it shows something that is known, that all it takes is a few individuals in any organization, and they can wind up swaying a perspective of an organization. And so several years ago, what happened is interested individuals wanted the Texas Medical Association to advocate on behalf of gender-affirming care when the issue came up in front of the legislature.
Okay.
So they wanted the Texas Medical Association to adopt a position supporting gender-affirming care. And then during the COVID shutdowns, when we weren't meeting in person, they kind of snuck in a policy. And it just kind of got passed, and the way policies get passed, and then people saw, wait, what is this? Oh, it's not written well. Mm-hmm. Let's try to refine it. And then when that came out at a meeting, they said, do we really want to do this? But then the activists, you come up to the microphones and you get people in the right places, and they said, oh my God, there are people who support this. Everyone must think this way. This must be the appropriate thing to do. No one's speaking against it. I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party. And so things get past the go along to get along, and physicians are vulnerable to this just like everyone else is.
In other words, peer pressure. And, peer pressure is what you're talking about, right?
Right. And this got me to be more active in the Texas Medical Association, just to say no. We've made mistakes before in medicine. We have gone for, I don't want to say fads, but we've been swayed before. And we need to always fall back on basics. And I think almost more than any other profession, medicine needs to welcome the heretic. We need to listen to the people who might say, are you really sure that what you're doing here is right? Is there another way of doing this? Or why are you seeing this now? Why is something that was very, very rare just a few decades ago, now we're seeing in tremendous numbers? There's something that has changed, and we need to make sure that this population is the same so we can try to figure out what we need to do to address it. And I saw gender-affirming care is basically a one-size-fits-all solution that was being proposed, and one-size-fits-all is very rarely a solution.
Now, from what I understand, the Texas Medical Association went all in and rejected, I guess, what you were advocating for is watchful waiting. In other words, we don't just automatically start getting kids surgically altered, right? Is that pretty much your point of view here?
But what I proposed, because I was looking to try to say, if you will, the Solomon split the baby. Uh-huh. I knew that there was no way that I would be able to convince the true believers to give up on gender-affirming care. So I said, let us as an organization say we support evidence-based interventions for gender dysphoria or gender incongruence.
And what would evidence-based, you know, care, what would evidence-based look like in that particular case when you're talking about what a psychiatrist used to consider a serious emotional problem and not a physical problem?
And that's where the discussion gets into, but then that leaves it up to the individual physician to decide, to their conscience, how they read the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was looking for, because I firmly believe the evidence supports watchful waiting. That's what had been done, you know, as the standard of care for years. I do not believe the evidence supports the gender-affirming care model. I think we've seen with the Cash report that it becomes a pipeline that it's very hard to disengage from.
I would also add, though, that there are many hospitals and surgeons that end up there are great financial incentives to do this. And I will give you an example in the state of Oregon, Oregon Health and Sciences University, which is, practically the biggest mutilator of children, medically approved mutilation that we can find. And there's waiting lists, and we have people that make their whole practice about this. And I don't know if there's anything like that in the state of Texas or not. Could you comment on that, doctor?
Well, our attorney general is actually being very active in having that shut down, as our legislature had passed bills in the last legislative session to outlaw that for children. For adults, that is available. And there are clinics that will perform that for adults, but that has been shut down. I think it is under court challenge, but it's basically being shut down for the children. But I see a lot of echoes in the, as you talk about with the financial incentives, a lot of echoes of the opiate crisis in this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a family physician by training. But I've been in a dedicated headache practice for the last 16 years. But when I got out of residency, it was right at that tail end of all pain is pain and all pain deserves a treatment, which I agree with. But they said if you're not controlling the pain, then they need to be on opiates. And if the patients are still in pain, then you're just not prescribing enough opiates. And the big people who were telling you this was the pharmaceutical companies and the people who were profiting from it.
Imagine that.
And as I think the most prophetic words Bob Dylan ever wrote was, money doesn't talk, it swears.
Indeed. Dr. Michael Reddy, MD, a do-no-harm medicine visiting fellow. By the way, you can find out more about this organization. I'm a big supporter of them. It's donoharmmedicine.org. You and the group are really doing your best to try to say, hey, you know, we need to not fall sway to medical fads. And what I'm curious about, when you talk about watchful waiting, is this something where, let's say, it seems like the vast majority of the transgenders that we're reading about right now seem to be females trying to transition to being a male, right? At least that seems to be the majority of it. Would that be fair?
Is that the majority? That's what we're seeing. As what had previously been seen was a male phenomenon that they would talk about starting in early childhood, 2-3 years of age, where they would use the words they were insistent, consistent, and persistent. And that was the phenomenon that you would see from childhood. But then there were other things that were seen, the later males that would be called the autogynephiles. And that might be someone that you would speculate might make the case that Rachel Levine was an autogynephile potentially. Now, I know nothing about that person's case, but someone who was a male, went through medical college, fathered children, and then trans later on in life. That fits that model that Ray Blanchard described. But one of the points that Dr. Cass made in her report is that this incredible increase in females declaring as trans, and no one's looking at the role of pornography and what that is doing.
And I also don't think they're looking at the role of social contagion, too.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah, that Abigail Schreier pointed out in her book, Irreversible Damage, and Helen Joyce in her book Trans, in dealing with that. And so the young females are more prone in that population, that this would have been the population before that would have been the cutters or the anorexics.
In other words, it's kind of a, well, not only an emotional problem, but also it's socially acceptable. It's a way to be cool in a very awkward time of life, too.
Well, you can think, I've always thought that to get the answers you're looking for, you have to make sure you're asking the right question. Mm-hmm. And while we have seen social contagions in certain populations and in this age group, no one has ever come out to say, well, no, this isn't a social contagion, rather than saying, well, why can't this be? Why is this so privileged? It's just like all of the trans identity is based on self-ID. Well, one of the things that we're taught in medicine very early on is self-ID is unreliable. That doesn't mean you don't take it into account, but how many patients come in to see us say, well, I need antibiotics for this viral illness, or I just need more of this type of medication, rather than trying to work on this issue.
In other words, don't take the patient at its word for absolutely everything. It's like if your patient walks in and says, by the way, I am a reincarnation of Napoleon, and then the medical doctor is supposed to nod their head and go, oh, okay, sure, all right, you know.
No, and I remember back when I was in medical school, one of my psychiatry professors told me, if you ever have an afternoon to waste, try to talk someone out of their delusion.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Michael Reddy here, talking about what the Texas Medical Association ended up doing. It just rejected a couple of resolutions to prioritize evidence, like you were talking about, evidence-based. And so they're just going all in on gender ideology. And this really surprises me. And so I guess, you know, we were thinking that there was going to be almost like we were at peak trans. So I guess looking at what's happening in Texas, I guess there's more work to do. The mania is going to have to play out. I'm just wondering if it's going to be the trial lawyers who end up suing on behalf of all of these young women who end up getting screwed up by the medical system to change things around. What do you think about that, doctor?
Yes, unfortunately, I do think it will take the attorneys because it's, if you have someone who was brought into the idea as a clinician, who I became a physician because I want to help people, and I am told by my professional organizations that this is how I can help someone who is in distress. I see someone who is in front of me that is in distress, mm-hmm. and I'm told this is how I help them, and then I start doing this. I've got to believe that this is right. I have to, because I am doing this. They are telling me that they are better. Rather than saying, well, you're a child. What do you know? You know nothing. you're not going – this is why we don't let you get tattoos. This is why we don't let you start smoking. This is why we don't let you do these things that are going to have lifetime consequences. You don't know what you're going to want at 20, 25, or 30. And so – I'm not going to be willing to entertain evidence to the contrary. And so it's going to take a big 2x4 upside the head for the true believers, because the scales are going to have to be shaken from their eyes to go, oh, my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
Rather than saying, you know, this may be an appropriate therapy for 1 in 10,000 people. And what we've got to do is figure out that 1 in 10,000 people, not 1 in 30 or 40.
And, you know, doctor, when you talk about watchful waiting, really this is kind of like observing a patient who has gender dysphoria or who claims to, you know, need to transition to the other gender. You watch them because, you know, quite often – especially with teenagers, you look at the evidence, the vast majority of people ended up growing out of it if they were allowed to grow out of it. But it's like the medical system is jumping in and wanting to do things permanently first off or first thing, right? Isn't that the real challenge
right,
that you're facing?
As puberty has been determined to be curative, mm-hmm. and what they did find that in a lot of these individuals, they would grow up to be same-sex attracted. From the past. Now, I think, you know, you're looking at a literature, the largest literature we have on watchful waiting from the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s, was a predominantly male population. This is a new population that hasn't been studied, but I also think that what we have to look at as a lot of the studies that are coming out now, unless they're very rigorous, there is a replication crisis that we're seeing where studies can't be replicated and there's a big publication bias to where negative studies aren't going to be published. And so the studies coming out saying, look how wonderful gender-affirming care is and look at all of this. Well, you can't have a 2 or 3 year study showing that because you're looking at something that's got to be present over a lifetime. You've got to have a 30 or 40 year study to be able to tell that. And the only real studies that we can count on were the studies that have been present for the 30 or 40 years that just watching works for the overwhelming majority of the individuals.
But doctor, what you had mentioned earlier, that the financial incentives, even in this situation, the financial incentives, kind of like global warming science. It's like you can always find grant stream funding to find someone that talks about human caused global based, you know, global warming. And it's difficult to get funding for studies that might question the everybody has to go transgender kind of routine. Is that kind of what I'm hearing from you? The same sort of challenge?
Yeah. That we have to ask the questions. We have to ask serious questions.
Dr. Michael Reedy, we appreciate your work there with Do No Harm Medicine, donoharmmedicine.org. This op-ed piece is up on in the Dallas Morning News. Now, that is behind a paywall. Is that on the Do No Harm site, or is there a way we can read that, too?
No, it is behind a paywall. The Dallas Morning News, they have a, I'm not shilling for them, but for a dollar you can sign up for 6 months. The basic premise that I had is that we should adopt a position supporting evidence-based. And the other, I had a resolution supporting open discourse, which is kind of a variation of free speech based on the Chicago principles, because I saw a lot of physicians were self-censoring and not willing to speak up, because I have significant, I doubt 80% of the physicians in Texas support gender-affirming care, and that we need to recognize that as an association, we need to have policies the majority of our physicians could support.
Yeah, I don't think you'd find 80% of the physicians in Oregon either supporting this, but yet I have no doubt that that is, you know, the standard of care, as they would call it there. That's the legal term, right? Standard of care or the quality?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And that's all that matters. But like I said, maybe the trial lawyers will get the medical associations to come to their senses somewhat. We appreciate your take, and thanks for having joined the show. I know you have patients to see, and thanks so much for having explained what happened in Texas, of all places. All right? You be well.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Dr. Michael Reedy, M.D. This is the Bill Myers Show, KMED, KCMD.
Hey, Cody, we should start doing inspections on people's vehicles when they get an oil change so they know if they need anything else.
We already do that.
Let's vacuum the floorboards then.
We already do that too, boss.
We'll throw in a nice air freshener.
Yeah, that too.
So you're saying we do a free inspection, vacuum the floorboards, and throw in a free air freshener every time somebody gets their oil changed?
Yeah, boss. Every car, every time.
Well then, Cody, just keep up the good work.
Visit American Wrencher Garage on Biddle Road, right across from Elmer's.
American Wrencher Garage, we are United Through Service.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience in thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
The McPherson Agency and Farmers Insurance are known for helping with auto and home insurance needs, but we can also help with many business, bonding, and life insurance options. Hi, it's Megan McPherson, your local Farmers Insurance agent. My team and I would love the opportunity to offer a comprehensive review of your current policies. Give our office a call at 541-776-0673 or stop by our office. A straightforward and personalized approach is what you'll get when you choose me, Megan McPherson, as your local Farmers Insurance agent.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
By the way, Dwayne does great work, too. It's 6:32. Speaking of transportation, Wheels Up Wednesday will be kicking off here with Eric Peters. It's going to be about 5 minutes after Town Hall News and so much more. Now, going back to Dr. Michael Reddy's conversation and having his resolutions to say, hey, you know, maybe the medical associations need to watch patients rather than automatically taking every teenager who wants to go trans and start the surgery and start the hormones and everything else. And I think ultimately about 10 years from now, we'll probably be looking back at this period going like, what the heck did we allow to be done to our children? What were we thinking? And it'll probably be after the trial lawyers just have their way with the medical system for having done this. And the social scientists, of course, you go after the sensible doctors like Dr. Reddy and say, oh, you're a hater. And they're like, no, I'm not a hater. Just, you know, trying to follow the evidence. But the big challenge is that we're really held sway by social sciences, which are not sciences at all. They're just completely corrupt. You know, it's kind of the way I see it. It's all about the feels and fads, and it's kind of a sad situation. You know, this whole idea of the social contagion of transgender, the theory that a lot of people have been talking about, including Abigail Shirer, who I haven't talked to for a while. I need to get her back on. I couldn't help but notice that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck getting divorced, right? They were getting divorced. They were splitting the sheets. And this is making a big deal in the celebrity world. But a lot of people don't realize that Jennifer Lopez's daughter going trans, identifying as a boy now, doing all this thing. And one of Ben Affleck's daughters, I think it was the daughter that he had with Jennifer Garner, she starts hanging out with J-Lo's kid, and then a little while later, then all of a sudden, oh, she's trans too, right? So this is what we're talking about, the you know, the social pressure. This is the way to be the cool kid right now. And I don't know if they're doing the operations or anything else, but it gets down to that whole thing where part of me, besides the amazing egos those two must have, I can't imagine how Ben Affleck and J-Lo could stay together. Not that I'm a big celebrity watcher, but I could be just like, hey, wait a minute, my kid was normal and then hangs out with your kid. Now and now she wants to go this way. You can't help but wonder if that drives some of this, too. But like I said, I think we're going to look back at this period in American history. And you know, Europe at this point has already gone through this scourge, and they're already shutting it down big time. And it's almost as if the United States medical and psychological world is sort of in the middle, the eye of the hurricane. We're going to have to come out the other side. We'll catch up on Town Hall News here, and then, like I'd mentioned, Eric Peters, we're hitting the open road next, KMED, KCMD. Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate, and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The closing arguments have been heard. Now the jury in the New York criminal trial of former President Trump will soon begin deliberations. Case expected to go to the jury later today. Algeria circulating a draft UN Security Council resolution demanding that Israel halt its offensive in Rafah. The resolution, should it come to a vote, is expected to be blocked by the U.S. A bank employee was killed in a natural gas explosion yesterday afternoon, heavily damaged a building in downtown Youngstown, Ohio. The pilot of a military jet that crashed near Albuquerque's airport is in the hospital with serious injuries. Britain's version of the U.S. Postal Service, the Royal Mail, is changing hands. A Czech investor offering $4.6 billion for privately owned Royal Mail. Stocks opening in the red this morning on Wall Street. More details, SRNnews.com.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your work truck and van headquarters. Proudly offering Adrian Steel interior shelving packages, partitions, and the best ladder racks in the business. Integrated bed slide or decked drawer system to boost your efficiency. Also featuring the largest selection of commercial fiberglass and metal truck canopies from leading manufacturers such as ARE, SmartCap, Century, and more. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and take your efficiency to the next level.
...1063 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Meyer Show.
638, Wheels Up Wednesday. That means Eric Peters, epautos.com, automotive journalist. Memorial Day weekend, did you get out on the road at all?
Oh, absolutely. We made good use of the Subaru BRZ that I've had this week to test drive.
Ah, okay. So you're putting it through the test, or it's a test, rather, on the curvy back roads of what? Now, you're in what, Eastern Virginia is where you live?
Southwest. Near the Tennessee-North Carolina border, outside of Roanoke.
Oh, okay. So you're living in free America, relatively speaking.
Semi. At least... Yeah, less free all the time, but somewhat. Yeah, you have to take what you can get.
Hey, we'll have to do about it. I finally hit the road on, you know, the 82 Vanagon diesel that we have talked about. I wax poetically. I've had this for years. Yes, it's slow. Yes, it's loud. Yes, it's smoky. You know, it's a diesel. You know, what the heck? But it's paid for it. It's beautiful, right? And I had taken out the dash back in September or October after I got it back from the mechanic for the transmission rebuild. Hey, 42 years, you got to do something like that every now and then. And it sat all winter, Eric, and it just got cold that I did not feel like going out there and doing it. Well, over the weekend, finally did it. Rebuilt the heater box, had put a new heater core in it, and that was one of the worst jobs I think I ever had to do because of the all the wires going everywhere and making it all fit. But it's all done, and now we have roaring heat. But the one thing I wanted to notice is, have you detected a problem with replacement parts in some cases? The reason being is that that heater core that was in it had a... was replaced about 10 years ago by another mechanic, and it was crappy heat coming out of it. And now I'm finding out that it was from China.
China.
Yeah.
Of course.
China,
by the way, let me
bad quality. I had to spend $179 to get a British-made heater core for this German car. you know, of mine. And it it's beautiful. It works great now.
I will preface my remarks by saying that doing a heater core replacement is probably one of the most vile and loathsome jobs to be done on a vehicle. And, of course, it's because the heater core is one of the very first things, typically, that they install in the car as it comes down the line.
That's right.
Everything else goes in on top of that. So you've got to be committed and masochistic to be willing to do that job yourself.
Well, so I was just laughing and going, I didn't want to do this. But anyway, it's working then. How are you looking at as far as the quality of parts, though? Like I said, some of the Chinese parts I've had are fine, but many of them are not. They just aren't.
Well, that's the problem. It's scattershot. It's hit or miss. It's literally a game of chance. You cross your fingers and hope for the best, and the part that you get from eBay or wherever you ended up picking it may or may not be quality. And the only way to find out is to try it and see, like the toothless man said in Deliverance.
Are even OEM parts made in China now, or are all OEM parts made in the United States? Do we even know? Like, if you have a Chrysler or you got a Ford or something, you buy something for your Ford, is it made in an American factory, or do they even outsource that to China? Do you know?
Like everything else, you have to be so careful because you can't trust anything they say. It may be authorized OEM, you know, or OEM equivalent, or some phraseology like that, that enables them to let you think, you know, it's the same as the part that came with the vehicle. But in fact, it was outsourced to some factory in China. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of being very careful. And what I advise doing before you buy a part to do a particular repair is to go to a user bulletin board of some kind, where people who have your particular vehicle, who've probably done that repair, have had experience with whatever the part is, and will be able to share that experience with you before you buy the part, install it, and then find that you have to do that job all over again.
Yeah. On my Chrysler, I ended up putting in a new cam position sensor. It's something that goes commonly in them after a few, you know, close to 100,000 miles. And it said OEM equivalent, right? Mm-hmm. And it started leaking in about a week, you know.
Yep.
And it was like leaking right through the electrical connector that went to the computer, car's computer. And then I'm looking at it, made in China. There we go. And you just start getting pretty jaded because I got it from a car parts store, like an actual car parts store, not, I didn't get it online. And yet we're still seeing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's no hard and fast rule. I went through the same thing with the radiator for my truck, and it appeared to be OEM equivalent quality. It wasn't. It cracked within about a year. So you just have to be very diligent about the supplier that you choose to get the part from.
All right, very good. It is 6:43. By the way, if you have a question, comment, want to talk about a car you're working on or maybe thinking about getting, or just any kind of suggestion or just comment in general on vehicles, 770-5633. Let's talk about the one you were testing, though, the 2024 mm-hmm. Subaru BRZ. Now, that actually looks like a sedan from the looks of it. I'm on epautos.com
now. It's a roadster, and it's for the person who wants a Miata but doesn't particularly want a soft top and maybe would like to have more room inside the car because it has back seats. Now, they're kind of vestigial, kind of tight back there. But the point is, it's not so much for people carrying as for carrying other things, like a bag of groceries or a gym bag or whatever.
Okay.
And the Miata, which I love, it's a great car, but all you've got is that tiny little trunk, and that's it. And if, you know, whatever you've got doesn't fit in that trunk, it's not coming along for the ride, and that kind of limits what you can use the car for. This BRZ, believe it or not, you know, for a dedicated sports car, which is what it is, it's a car that you could do a long drive in. The seats are very comfortable. It's got much more shoulder room inside the car than the Miata has, and it's got that marvelous little boxer engine, without a turbo, by the way, that spins to close to 7,500 RPM, and that's a whole lot of fun.
Okay, so this is kind of like their version of the Miata then. And is it, let me put it this way. So how much horsepower, given the fact that it's not blown, and is it adequate mm-hmm. for what it's trying to do?
More than adequate. 228 horsepower, 0 to 60 in just over 5 seconds, which, I mean, again, for, you know, by the standards of a sports cars are not necessarily about how quick they are. They're about how fun they are.
Yeah.
It's a more active experience. It's got a 6-speed manual transmission, naturally, and you can work that little boxer engine really hard. But you don't have to, because it actually produces a pretty considerable amount of torque. And again, I love the Miata, but the Miata makes less horsepower. I think it's 181 horsepower and a lot less torque, higher up in the RPM band. And while it's a lot of fun to make that little engine scream, sometimes that gets old in traffic. The BRZ is a lot easier to drive in traffic.
How do they end up getting – now, is this a 1.8? What is the displacement on this Subaru 2.4, engine?
2.4, so it's considerably larger than the Miata's 2.0-liter engine.
Okay, so it's a big four, but still, 235, mm-hmm. That's a lot. And now, is it direct injected?
Gosh, you know, I don't know. I would bet that it probably is, because pretty much they all are now.
Oh, okay.
But it does not have a turbo, which I really like, because obviously that means you don't have to worry about the engine being under pressure all the time, and you're never going to have to worry about replacing a turbo or an intercooler.
So twisting and turning, you really enjoyed it then over the weekend.
Phenomenal,
right?
Phenomenal car.
What's it go for?
Starts around $29,000. And by the way, you can get the same thing under the Toyota label. They call it the GR86. It's one of those joint ventures. Mm-hmm. But the guts of it, the mechanicals, are all made by Subaru.
646 with Eric Peters here. If you have a question, call in 770-5633. So a thumb up on the BRZ, right? Just want to be clear.
Oh, absolutely. Three thumbs up. The only thing I could find to complain about it was that sometimes the touchscreen interface, if you brush your thumb against it, it might change the station to some other station, and that's about all I could come up with.
Okay, if that's the worst problem you're having with a Subaru, then we'll call that mm-hmm. highly recommended. And unlike so many vehicles these days, a lot of fun, and that stands for a lot, okay? Hey, Eric, we'll be back. We'll get some calls on for you,
okay.
And we'll talk more Wheels Up Wednesday and many other issues here going on. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. Timber Tech Decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. Timber Tech, go against the grain. Hughes Lumber Timber Tech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
If you're looking to be more efficient and functional on a job site, release the hounds. Two Dogs Fabricating is Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star flatbed dealer. And if they don't have the perfect flatbed, Two Dogs will build one made to your exact specifications. Plus, come kick the tires on a great selection of heavy-duty Delco trailers and North Star-made Iron Bull trailers in multiple lengths with dump and tilt options. Two Dogs has light-duty North Star trailers, too. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford, and at twodogsfab.com.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
It's your opportunity to talk to the automotive journalist, Eric Peters, cdpautos.com, and Eric's back here, and Brad's on with him. Brad, you have a question about a vehicle you'd never seen. Go ahead.
Yeah, Eric, does Tesla have their truck model out on the market now?
You mean the Cybertruck?
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's pretty recognizable. It's sort of that slab-sided stainless steel body thing that looks like a sixth grader grew it.
That must have been what I saw. It was all stainless steel. It was like it had sheets on it.
Yeah, that's it, and it's been out.
That's the best way I can describe it. I mean, it was bizarre.
And ever since it's been out, the problems with it have elaborated one after the other. It's been a gigantic debacle for Tesla.
What kind of problems has it been having? Because I've seen a few. I saw a couple here in Medford, and I'm getting reports that there are some up in Grants Pass and also in Roseburg area, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people
that
have them.
Well, just from poor design, like knife-edged doors that cut people's fingers, to another videoed debacle where they tried to put the thing through some water and the water shorted out the electronics.
The water shorts off the electronics.
Yeah, you could go on YouTube and see it. They'll typically do these tests with trucks and SUVs. They'll have a washed out gully with, you know, and the vehicle will go through that to demonstrate how much water it can ford. They tried that with the Cybertruck and it glitched it out.
Okay, so Brad, you thinking about getting one then after the?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna wait till they have a fire sale.
Okay.
Literally.
Yeah. You got to be careful about the fire sale when you talk about these electric vehicles, okay?
Yeah. I'll tell you, this thing, seriously, thank you, Eric, but that was the most bizarre-looking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Appreciate the call there. Thanks, Brad. 770-563-3770-KMED. And let's see. You have a lot of other great articles on EP that I wanted to talk about this morning, including Beep, You're Speeding. This is the next iteration of the Nanny vehicle. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, as is the case with so many other unpleasant things, this emanates from California. And California, the state legislature, has passed a piece of legislation that will require passive speed limiter warnings in cars, I think beginning with the 2029 models. And of course, the rest of the country probably will go along with that, and so will the car manufacturers. And the key thing is that passive always leads to active. So, you know, the law specifies that when you drive faster than 10 miles an hour over whatever the speed limit is, the car is going to start pestering you with beeps and flashing lights. And I believe that implicit in that, if you know, after all, if speeding is bad and you have to alert people to do it, the next thing will be that the car will be prevented from driving faster than whatever the speed limit is.
Hmm. And I guess the question is California the state that's really designing all our cars right now? Is that and this is something that I think we should all be concerned about.
Well, it's something we should have been concerned about 40 years ago. That's how long this has been going on. You know, California began establishing its own California-specific standards for vehicles that long ago. And rather than tell California, okay, that's fine, well, we'll just stop selling vehicles in your state, and we'll sell them to the rest of the 49 states, the auto industry caved into it and started making all cars California cars. And states, whenever California's regulatory apparatus decides that it's going to, for example, ban the sale of cars that aren't electric by a certain date, you get a dozen other states that go along with it, and effectively that makes it a national standard.
Hmm. Is there any way we could encourage California to secede? You know, they keep talking about that and bleeding about it. Because if they did it, I think it'd be helpful for the rest of us.
Absolutely. I encourage it. I would not shed a tear if California became the Republic of the Socialist People's Republic of California. Just leave us alone. I have no objection to California doing what California wants to do. What I object is to being told what I'm going to do in Virginia because of California.
But if we were going to do something like that, though, we would have to have a true gate on our border to Oregon. And then, okay, after a certain time, you cannot immigrate. You know, it's like, if you're going to come up here, you come up now.
But, you know, I'll say this, to be fair to California, it really isn't California per se. California, like so many other states, is effectively governed by L.A. and San Francisco. In other words, a few of the densely populated urban cores determine the politics of the rest of the state. California, the people of California, by and large, are mostly normal people like us. Unfortunately, they're under the thumb of these urban elites, as they like to style themselves.
All right. Hey, you've been keeping up on the Pete Buttigieg,
$7 billion for how many, a dozen of the fast chargers thing?
I thought it was between eight. It was between eight and a dozen. So you have $7.5 billion. What's happened with that? Do you know? Have you kept up
well,
on that?
Well, I think the gist of it is, you know, the Biden regime passed this massive so-called Inflation Reduction Act.
Which is inflationary.
Which, among other things, funneled massive amounts of money to the states that ostensibly were going to use some of that money to build out this EV fast charging network. And it turns out the money has been used for pretty much anything other than building out the fast charging network.
How could that
be? And that's why.
How could that be, though? How could that be, though, if the money is earmarked for chargers? How could it go to something else?
Because are grifters ever honest?
Oh.
You know, you've got grifters at the federal level, grifters at the state and local level, and they're all trying to out-grift one another with our money. That's how.
Mm, all right. Eric, before we take off, I wanted to just talk about this Premier article you just put up today here. And it has it appears to be President Trump tying an electric vehicle charging cable in a knot. And it's called Here's Why We're Where We Are. Mm-hmm. And this is going into the politics of transportation right now, too. What is that story?
Just well, it's also going into the journalism of the politics. You know, I cringe constantly at people who are in my line of work, that is ostensibly car journalists who are writing about the car industry. And I took a couple of sample paragraphs from a piece that was written by a guy who was deriding Trump because Trump has talked about dialing back some of these mandates and regulations that have been pushing electric vehicles onto the market. And this person talks about how this is at odds with the increasingly popular, his words, electrification of the country, which is, it's delusional. It's simply factually incorrect, and it just
it's popular with a certain percentage of mostly the urban set. You know, it could make sense, you know, for some of their transportation needs, but not for the vast bulk of the country. It just doesn't.
Yeah, but it's not even that. You know, the first couple of years of this thing saw the early adopters, the people that you talk about buying them, but now people are not buying them. I wrote an article a few days earlier about how Volkswagen has posted its latest sales figures and is very happy that overall its sales are up close to 30%. However, sales of its battery-powered vehicles are down 30%.
I thought they were going, like, exclusively battery last time we were talking about VW.
That's what they thought. And Mercedes, the same thing. Mercedes, with whom I'm in a kind of tiff right now, was one of the main luxury brands that really embraced the EV tar baby. They've had to walk that back because people who are going to spend $100,000 on a car don't want a device. And all the other manufacturers, it's the same thing industry-wide. They can't get rid of these things. They're piling up on lots. So it's really dishonest for this guy to talk about how Trump is going to thwart the increasingly popular electrification of the Biden regime and claiming that there's some kind of market for these things. There's no market for these things. It's an artificial growth like metastatic cancer. That's what we're talking about here. And it just annoys the pee out of me that these people don't present the truth and the facts about it, and instead have to lecture people about it.
And even the comment from this writer, former President Trump, currently facing 34 felony counts in criminal court, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the biggest fake jobs that we've heard. And, you know, he's probably going to be convicted or something's going to happen to him unless there's some one or two wise jurors on this sort of situation. But they're very disingenuous the way they describe this case, as if it is a legitimate case, really.
Well, that and also the way they set it up, because ostensibly this is about the electric car thing. And what they do is to try to impugn Trump as only a criminal person, and it would only be a criminal
that would
whoever
do this.
Who would do this. It's childish, and yet it's dangerous at the same time. It's like giving a 6-year-old a machine gun and letting them play with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it true though that Trump has called for the oil and gas industry to donate to him, try to get rid of this stuff?
Well, yeah, I think he has, and I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. All politicians seek political support. Now, that's how the game is played, and I don't see anything wrong with them seeking to get their interests advanced, because in this case, their interests jibe with our interests.
I hope he's successful on this. My only question that I would have about hoping that the oil and gas industry will donate to the campaign is that I can't help but notice that you'll see like BP and Exxon and all these other people. They seem to be talking more about, oh, how green we are and, oh, how sustainable we are, rather than, hey, how inexpensive and how plentiful our oil and gas supplies are. And I'm getting a little bit concerned if they're already too bought off to be.
This instinct to go along and get along that has ravaged through corporate America is beginning to have major consequences for those who did buy into it. And maybe we've passed a tipping point. You know, we typically don't see that until it's in the rear view. And they've begun to realize that this was not such a good idea because we're bankrupting ourselves.
All right. Very good. Not the bankrupting, but certainly the conclusion.
Yep.
Eric, what do you have in the driveway for next week? Huh?
Well, it's what's coming. I've still got the BRZ. I've got one more fun day with it. And then I'm getting the new Ram pickup truck, which I think will have their new inline six and probably with some kind of a hybrid thing attached to it. Because, of course, the Hemi, rest in peace, we're not allowed to buy that anymore.
But the inline six, is this in anything else or just in the Ram truck?
Oh, no, it's in a number of their vehicles, including the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer. They're looking upon that as their replacement for the Hemi for as long as they can continue to build it. But I've pointed out to them, look, you guys bought into this narrative that forced you to take the Hemi off the market. How long do you think it's going to be before you can't sell the inline six either?
All right. Yeah, it'd be a triple turbocharged 2-liter. Four-banger.
Well, it's a
right?
3-liter. You know, I think it's a 3-liter six, and I do think it has two turbos. And it's a fine engine. There's nothing wrong with it. The thing is, they don't get that these people in the apparatus don't want engines, period. It wouldn't matter if it was a 0.5-liter. They want to get rid of engines, period.
Now, is the Ram Classic done? Do they no longer sell those? Is that it now?
Off. They're not making those any longer.
Okay. All right. Because the Ram Classic was a way that you could kind of get, I mean, some people were saying, well, gosh, you know, it hasn't been updated for a while, but a lot of truck buyers are going, that's exactly why we like it.
You know? Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right. Eric, always appreciate your journalism there too and your candor about what's really going on in the transportation world. And go out and burn up some asphalt with that BRZ Subaru, and then we'll talk next week, okay?
Be well. You bet, Bill. Thanks as always.
EPautos.com. It is 7 o'clock.
Hey, I want to ask you this. With interest rates on the rise, how will your home sale be affected? Hey, it's Lars Larson. Can you still make money on your property? Well,